When I, a poor lost sinner, before the Lord did fall, and in the name of Jesus for pardon loud did call, He heard my supplication, and soon the weak was strong. For Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. Yes, Jesus took my burden I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fears subsided, my spirit was made strong. For Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. Oft times the way is dreary and rugged seems the road. Oft times I'm weak and weary when bent beneath some load. But when I cry in weakness, how long, O Lord, how long? Then Jesus takes the burden and leads me with a song. When I was crushed with sorrow, I bowed in deep despair. My load of grief and heartache seemed more than I could bear. 'Twas then I heard a whisper, "You to the Lord belong." Then Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. I'll trust Him for the future, He knoweth all the way. For with His eye He'll guide me along life's pilgrim way. And I will tell in heaven, while ages roll along, how Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. Yes, Jesus took my burden I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fears subsided, my spirit was made strong. For Jesus took my burden and left me with a song.
That's a good song for this morning. I appreciate it. Let's pray together again on the subject of your faith. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, I rejoice in the good music and just ministered to my heart. That great song. Now, please bless the preaching of your word. I ask in Christ's name and amen. If you have been in the services the last several weeks, hopefully you have learned, possibly been challenged by the subject of your faith. Your faith. Seven times in the two letters to the Thessalonian church, Paul made mention to them of your faith. He said some seven times, your faith, your faith, your faith, your faith. It was of extreme importance to Paul to know that the people were doing well concerning their faith. And when, in his words, he could no longer forbear, he couldn't help himself, he couldn't wait any longer, he couldn't patiently endure anymore, he sent Timothy to check up on the people that he loved. There was no internet, there was no FaceTime, there was no Skype, no Instagram, whatever these evil things are today. None of that was in existence back then. Amen. So it had to be a person-to-person type thing. And that's what he did. He sent Timothy there. Look at verse 7, please, with me. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you all in our affliction and distress by your faith. So there is the topic for our message this morning on the subject of your faith. Paul said he was comforted by their faith. And you can understand that. Timothy brought him good news. Hey, Paul, the people are putting roots downward. They're bearing fruit upward. They're growing in their faith. And the result of their growth in faith shows up in their charity, their agape, their deep, full, complete love among themselves for each other. And it's God's love that He has for us. And then that love is shed abroad in our hearts so that we can love each other in the way that God loves us. First, and then don't remember what Jesus said in John 13:35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. If you have, agape. Not just some lukewarm milquetoast thing. Not just some emotional feeling. But deep, full, abiding, agape love. A love feast. A love buffet. Paul said he was blessed. Paul said he was encouraged. Paul said he was comforted. He said he was comforted, verse 7, in his affliction and distress. Now, people, he's not talking past tense. He's talking present tense. You remember, Paul suffered substantial persecution at the hands of the Thessalonian people. Not the church members, but the folks in the town. They drove him out of Thessalonica. And then they followed him to Berea. And they caused him the same trouble, if not worse trouble, in Berea than they did at home in Thessalonica. He had been kicked around pretty good, humanly speaking. And he was a little worse for the wear. Until Timothy showed up and began to share with him about the faith of these Christians in Thessalonica. And then you know what happened to Paul? His spirits were encouraged. He picked up. His spirits picked up. He was encouraged. He was comforted. I imagine also a little bit excited. And I can understand his encouragement. We'll say more about that in a little bit. I want to point out a couple of truths here from this passage to us this morning. First of all, I want to remind us today that we reap what we sow. Look at verse number 7. He says, we were comforted. So Paul received comfort from the very people he attempted to comfort. All the way back at verse number 2. Look at it in chapter 3. This is where Paul sends Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer of the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to what, church? Comfort you. So the reason Paul sent Timothy to the church at Thessalonica was to comfort them. He reached out through another Christian and he expressed his concern and love for their well-being. And guess what? In return, he was comforted by them. You say, well, Pastor, that makes sense. What goes around comes around. Well, you can say it that way or you can say it the more biblical way. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. I mentioned last week that many times in the Bible, God uses agriculture to teach us spiritual lessons about following Christ. And one agricultural truth that He uses, is mentioned over and over again, is the matter of sowing and reaping. You only reap what you sow. You only harvest what you plant. If I put a tomato plant in my yard and go out and there's tomatoes on it, I don't kick it down and say, where's the cucumbers? If I did that, they'd put me in the same place they put Joe Biden. Amen. But anyway, that might be something he would do. You don't do that. You plant a tomato plant, what do you expect to harvest off of it? Tomatoes. That makes sense. Okay, that's the law of sowing and reaping. And by the way, I don't expect just to harvest one tomato. I expect to harvest a lot of tomatoes from that one plant. Now, you reap what you sow. Hold your finger here in 1 Thessalonians and go to the Old Testament passage with me. Go to the book of Judges, chapter 1. Turn back there. I think we have time for this morning. Turn back to Judges, chapter 1. And I just want to read a few verses here out of a story about a man by the name of Adonai Bezek. Adonai Bezek. I don't think any of you parents won't be in any danger of you naming your boy that. Amen. Adonai Bezek, all right? Adonai Bezek, Judges chapter 1, look verse number 4. Verse number 4, and Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. So the tribe of Judah, which by the way means praise, led the battle against the enemy. Can I just come aside right here and say, there's power in praising God. There's power in praising God. The tribe of praise led the fight. So the tribe of Judah goes up, verse number 5. And they found Adonibezek in Bezek. I guess that's a good place for Adonibezek to live, in Bezek, right? And they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. But Adonibezek fled, Bezek fled. Watch this. And they pursued after him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. You say, what in the world? Why would they cut off the thumbs and the toes of that man? His thumbs and his big toes. Well, look at the next verse. Look at verse number 7. And Adonibezek said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table, as I have done. So God hath requited me. You know what the word requited means? It means repaid. It means rewarded. You know what you can see here, folks? What Adonibezek sowed is what Adonibezek reaped. You reap what you sow. And by the way, we don't always reap right away from the actions that we sow. I don't think Adonibezek captured 70 kings at one time and cut their thumbs and toes off. I think that was just something that he did over a period of time to enemy armies. And when he was captured, guess what? They cut his thumbs and his toes off. Because the Bible says, you reap what you sow. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Put you back in that place. Remind you this morning of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, people, here's the thing. That works for both good and bad. Both good and bad. If we sow to the flesh, the Bible says, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. We sow to sin, we sow to iniquity, we sow to wrong, we're going to reap wrong. We're going to reap the result of that. But if we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap blessings, life everlasting. And the Bible says, do not be deceived. Don't be tricked. Don't be caught up in delusion. You will reap what you sow. You suck on cigarettes all your life, you're going to reap the corruption of those nasty things in the end. You're not the smoker. The tobacco smokes. You're just the sucker. In more ways than one. You can't sow to the flesh without reaping a corruption. Don't tell me you can't quit unless you're talking about quitting in your own strength and your own power. You're right. But in God's power, in God's strength, in God's might, you can overcome that. You can stop that nasty habit that's causing corruption in your body. And you suck on that thing day after day after day, giving no thought to the fact that there's a law in Scripture that says you'll reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Do you have a bottle put back in the back of the cupboard for a little nip when your nerves get frayed? You're going to sneak in, have a swallow or two when you think no one is looking? Don't be deceived into believing that you will not reap from that action. You reap what you sow. You know, are you tempted to cheat on your spouse? And you think you're going to sow that kind of wickedness in your life, and you know that you're not ever going to in the future in some way reap the results of that kind of iniquity and sin. Wait a minute, it may not be next year, it may not be 10 years, it may be years down the road when your own children are grown and their lives fall apart because of their infidelity. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. I was acquainted with a man one time who for years was guilty of hidden infidelity. There's nothing hidden, folks, in the eyes of God. You can hide it from man's eyes. What's man going to do? You can't hide it from God. You can't hide that immoral sin from God. Can't do it. You just can't. And all of that man's children are grown. All of them have been immoral. All of them. It's called reaping what you sow. Reaping what you sow. And if you're a parent, your heart hurts more to see your children suffer than to see yourself suffer. So sometimes, even though that reaping doesn't affect them physically, personally, it affects them inside their spirit, their heart, they're crushed. when they see their kids living that kind of life. You reap what you sow. And by the way, it's not just the big things. It's the small things. Are you going to sow selfishness? You're going to shut yourself off from your brothers and sisters in Christ, never expressing from your heart any mercy or grace or love or kindness to another child of God, never taking time to comfort someone whose heart is anxious or broken? Well, don't be surprised. So when no one reaches out to you with a touch of mercy and a touch of grace and a touch of love and a touch of kindness, you say, well, I don't need any help. No man is an island. And the day will come when you need the comfort that comes from a brother or a sister in Christ. And you know what? If you need it someday, you better sow that now. Because you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. On the other hand, people who sow to righteousness, the Bible says they reap in mercy. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. See, the laws of sowing and reaping work for our good and for our benefit if we'll live in God's way, in God's will, according to God's Word. The promises that we use from God's Word to warn people about sowing to the flesh, those same promises can be used to encourage people about sowing to the Spirit. It works for your benefit. It works for your good. Hosea chapter 8, verse number 7. Listen to this verse. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. Now, which is bigger, the wind or the whirlwind? The whirlwind. In other words, you reap more than you sow. And you know what we do? We use that verse to warn people about sowing to the flesh. My goodness, you better not sow to the desires of the flesh and sow to sin and sow to wicked living, because you're going to reap that, and you're going to reap more than you sow. You always do. Always do. You plant a cucumber vine in the ground, you don't cut one cucumber off that vine. You cut bushel off that vine. You reap more than you sow. But guess what, church? You can take that same phrase, they have sown the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind, and it can be turned into good for those that sow to the things that please God, sow to holy living, sow to righteousness. And you know what? You're going to reap far more from Him than you sowed for Him. And you know what's encouraging to me? It's people who make mistakes, people who stumble and fall, people who sow to the flesh, if they'll break off those sins in righteousness, God is still a God of mercy. He's still a God of love. He's still a God of grace. And you will limit the amount of reaping you have to do if you'll just sell yourself wholeheartedly to sowing righteousness instead of iniquity. Years ago, after we came here to the church, missionaries started coming through, and especially when we got the Faith Promise Missions, it was already in existence, but when we really got it kicked off and growing and more people in the church involved, and we started having missionaries come through once a month, when our six kids, probably before Cherith was even born, maybe before she was born, after two, but before she was born, my wife and I decided when they were all young that, you know what, when missionaries come through, we're going to treat them kindly and graciously as much as we can. I don't think we've ever had a missionary guest visit this church that I haven't given to financially on purpose. We've had them in our homes for meals. Back in the early days of the conference here in the early 90s, we used to have all the missionaries and Brother Vineyard to our house for the Wednesday afternoon meal, at the lunch meal. We've had them stay overnight in our home, missionary families. Put them up. You know why we decided to do that? Maybe, just maybe, someday, God might call one of our children to be a missionary. He didn't call just one. He called two. And for the most part, I would say 95 to 98% of their deputation experiences have been positive, nothing but positive. Churches have cared for them. Individuals have cared for them. Pastors have treated them well. And you know what? I'm not putting a feather in my cap. I'm just saying, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You reckon God might call one of your children to go on a mission field someday and They got to load up in a vehicle and go from church to church across the country and raise support. And, well, I hope those churches take church. That's why, as a church, we try to bend over backwards to take care of our the missionary guests that we have in. You know why? Because one day Jason and Heather Lowe left here on deputation. And as a church, we want churches out there to treat them well. So if we want churches out there to treat them well, and the Jared and Bernadine Montgomerys, and the Ben and Ashley Angels, and the rest of them that are out there, if we want the churches out there to treat them well, guess what Faith Baptist Church better do? We better sow it a little bit along the way. Because you reap what you sow. So here it is. Timothy comes to Paul from Thessalonica. He brings him word, and the word that Timothy brings Paul, Paul says, in my distress and in my affliction, the report, listen, of your faith comforted me. What do you know? Paul is simply reaping what he sowed. Now let that warn you this morning, and let it challenge you. Is there some area of your life that you're sowing to sin, sowing to evil, sowing to iniquity, sowing to wrong? And you know it's got to be fixed. Let that warn you. Amen. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if you're sowing to holiness and sowing to righteousness and sowing to the Lord and sowing to the Word of God, sowing trying to obey the Spirit of God, let that encourage you this morning. Amen. Young people, let it warn you. Let it encourage you. Sow to righteousness. You're in the sowing stages of your life right now. Down the road someday, you're going to need to reap the results of all the righteousness you've sowed. So you reap what you sow. Paul reaped what he sowed. Number two, I want you to notice this morning, not only do you reap what you sow, but I want you to notice that somebody is encouraged by your faith. Somebody is encouraged by your faith. Look at verse number 7 again. He says, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Then he says this, for now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. What's he talking about there? Now we live. Of course you live, Paul. You're living, breathing. He's not talking about physical life. What he's talking about is being encouraged. My heart is renewed. My spirit is refreshed. I've been made alive today by hearing from Timothy about your faith. It revived the Apostle Paul. It brought him great comfort and excitement and encouragement to hear about the faith of those people, and especially their charity for each other, their love for each other. And Paul's heart soared. He was encouraged. Remember, people, that your faith is not referring to some mental gymnastics that you go through to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. That's not faith. Your faith is your belief lived out in your life. Let me illustrate it this way. Noah believed that it was going to rain, even though he had never seen rain. And why did he believe it was going to rain? Because God told him it was going to rain. So he believed the Word of God. And immediately he began to build the ark. And the building of the ark was his faith on display. What he believed in his heart and head, he acted out in his life. And when our belief, when what we believe about the Word of God, what we think about the Word of God, is lived out in our life, our faith is on display. It can be seen. And someone will be encouraged by your faith. And that is especially true when the display of our faith is charity, love. I talked about this last week a little bit, but I can testify that my heart is greatly encouraged by your faith. I'm talking about you people, the church right here. You know, every preacher desires a crowd to preach to. Every preacher does. Don't let any preacher tell you differently. They enjoy, you know, as much as they want a crowd to preach to. But as much as I enjoy a good number of people to preach to on Sunday, my heart is far more encouraged by the display of your faith Monday through Saturday. My heart is so encouraged when I hear of charity on display from person to person, one person to another. You have no idea what it means to me as the pastor here that God's people are showing deep love to each other. You know what? I live. My heart's encouraged. I get excited. I get inspired because of that. I remember earlier at the end of last year, toward Christmas time, a brother in the church, adult man, he said, "Look, I have there's a little boy that God has put on my heart, and I want to do something to encourage him." And so he said, "I got something for him. I'm gonna put it up. I'm gonna wrap it up in paper, and I want it to be anonymous. I don't want to give it to him. So if I give it to you, will you give it to him?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd be happy to do that." And so the brother dropped it off at my office. It's a good-sized package. I was kind of curious what was in it myself, really. And it had some weight to it, you know. So here I'm in the office, you know, like a little kid, you know, shaking it. No, not seriously. And, you know, and so after church one Sunday morning or evening, I forget what it was, around Christmas time, I saw the little fella in the hallway back here. And I said, "Hey, come with me just a minute." Walked back there to the office, you know, and his eyes are big. What have I done now, you know? And so he walks in, you know, and he's got this big eye look in his face, you know. I said, "I picked up that big box off the floor, and I said, hey, there's a man in the church that brought this package to me and said he wanted you to have this for Christmas." I wish you could have seen his eyes. They're huge. If I had a camera and had a picture of that little boy's expression on his face, it would be priceless. I lived. It's like walking on cloud nine. I had nothing to do with it. I'm just a delivery boy. But I saw charity on display among church members. It's a blessing to my heart. Someone's in a tough spot, and I'm on the phone with them, and I say, "Well, you know what? It sounds to me like we should probably get you some meals. Oh, Sister So-and-so already have brought something over, and Brother So-and-so dropped some food off last night, and so-and-so's fixing me a meal tomorrow." Amen. I live. That's faith on display. Amen. That's charity. My heart is greatly encouraged when I hear of people's love when it comes to lost people. A few weeks ago, we had a lady here. She's come 3 or 4 times, and she's unsaved, and God's working in her heart, and she's searching for, I really think she's honestly searching, wanting to know the truth. And when I stopped and talked to her and praying for you, and one of our ladies was standing nearby, and the lady I was talking to said, "Yeah, this lady is praying for me too." So here's a lady in the church who's already gotten to the lost lady and said, "I'm praying for you," before any staff man or pastor can get there. I live. I get a phone call. "Hey, Pastor," or a text message. Get a text message. "Can our family cover the town of so-and-so with John and Romans? We have another lady that lives in our area who wants to help us in this endeavor as well. Can we just take such and such a town and do the John and Romans?" Amen. I live. Amen. We didn't ask anybody to do that. Just did it. Sometime last fall, and I've saved this letter for the right moment. Now, October 2nd, this letter is dated October 2nd, 2020. "I'm writing to inform you of the kindness one of your members rendered to me yesterday. I am a female senior citizen who was stranded on the roadside with a tire issue, causing me to pull over to the side of the road. I was in the process of contacting roadside assistance when a very kind gentleman knocks on my window and offered to change the tire for me. I did accept his help and offered to repay his kindness. He refused and handed me a card from your church, asking me to read it when I got home, which I did. In the trying times we are now experiencing, it is comforting to know that good and kind people are still willing to help a stranger. He did ask that I not use his name on social media, so I will honor his wishes. I'll only disclose his name as name and initial. I thank the Lord for him coming to my rescue. I am enclosing a small token of my appreciation for the kindness of because of the kindness of one of your members. Please use it as you see fit." She put a check in there. So we went to Texas Roadhouse and ate, man. I didn't know what else to do with it. So, you know, what are we going to do with a check like that? We had a good time. I'm just teasing. It went in the offering plate. I don't know what it went to. Might have missions or something. I don't know. Do you remember, Naomi, what we did with it? So, but anyway, it went somewhere. I live. Those of you that have been around here for several years, you remember that there's a man in heaven today. Because a church member on the way home from work stopped and helped him change a tire. Actually, I think helped him get his car back to town. I can't remember everything. Gave him a gospel tract, invited him to church. His kids were already riding the bus, and so he came and he got saved. Baptized, came to church, and he got cancer and died a couple years later. I live. Several years ago, just going through one of those tough stretches here at the church. They come and go. Part of it. I try not to ever let you know. Keep a smile on my face and encouraging word for you. But you hit those spells. And I was going through one of those times. And we were out in Moments visiting on probably a Thursday night back in those days. And I knocked on the door at this house, summertime screen door. The door was open. And a woman and a man sitting on the couch, their husband and wife. And just said, "Come in." So me and whoever was with me stepped in the door and stood there for a few minutes. We had our tracks out, you know, and I said, Faith Baptist, Terry Angel, Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais, and just stopping by to give people information about our church. I'd like to give you this little information about our church. It has good Bible verses on there about how to know for sure you're going to heaven someday. So while I'm talking, she takes it. She's now looking at this, and she says, "I have one of these." And she started scrounging around, and she produced it. Same exact track. Y'all remember the burgundy track had Bob Oswardy and Jody Oswardy, their picture on the front there? I think it was that track right there. And I said, "Oh," and she said, "Yeah, I was over here at the car wash the other day, and there was a line. And I was two or three cars back, and over here at this stall over here was another vehicle. It was two or three cars back, and there was a teenage girl. We looked at each other, our eyes met." And she said, "I didn't think anything of it." And I went back to doing whatever I was doing. Next thing I knew, there was a knock on the window. She said it was that teenage girl standing there. And this is what she had in her hand. She gave this to me, invited me to 10 services over at your church. I asked her to describe the vehicle. It was a teenage girl, 17 years of age, a teenage girl. Waiting in line at the car wash, had gotten out of her vehicle, her parents' vehicle, and walked over to a complete stranger, knocked on the glass, give them a gospel tract, invite them to services. I live. Paul, I'm no Paul. I'm no Apostle Paul. I couldn't buckle his shoe latchets. I'm no Apostle Paul, but I get it. When he said to these people in this letter, he said, "Timothy brought me word of your faith and your charity to each other. And when his word came, it comforted me and helped me. For now we live." Oh, excuse me. "We" is not singular, is it? "We" is plural. Well, I wonder who that is. Well, that's Silas. That's Timothy. That's whoever else was with Paul, a companion of his on this missionary journey. And you know what? Here's this team. They're a bunch of men trying to serve God, and they're experiencing persecution, and they're experiencing affliction. And here comes Timothy, and he says, "Fellas, I've got some tremendous news for you. Back there in Thessalonica, there is a group of people. They are growing in their faith. They're putting their roots down. They're bearing fruit upward. Their charity among each other is unbelievable." And Paul said "We lived. You encouraged us. You enthused us, and you gave us new life and a breath of fresh air." And Paul said, we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Folks, don't you ever think for one minute that your faithfulness to Christ is of no use and of no good. Your faithfulness to Christ is not only honoring to Him. Your faithfulness to Christ is an encouragement to somebody else. Somebody else is encouraged by you standing. Somebody else is encouraged by you growing. I'm talking about those of you who are fairly new Christians and maybe you're just trying to get into it, and maybe sometimes you stumble and bumble. And guess what? Those of us that have been saved for years, we stumble and bumble too. And you think, I just wonder if... No, you're a blessing to see you come after your baptism, week in and week out, and faithfully come with your Bible and have it open. You are life to another person. You're an encouragement. So don't grow weary in doing good. That's what Paul said. Don't grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We live. You know, on Wednesday mornings we have a pretty set schedule when I'm in town. If I'm not traveling back from speaking in a meeting somewhere, we have a pretty set routine. 7:30 we have staff prayer meeting. In that staff prayer meeting on Wednesday mornings is where we pray. If some of you are going through job difficulties, some of you need a job, your job is in jeopardy. We started this in 2009, right after the big collapse. And we just kept doing it. What's it been now, 12 years? This will be 12 years. That's where we also pray for health needs. We pray, we have four columns, jobs, health, and then we pray for people. We pray for people who need to be saved. We pray for people who have been under conviction, who need to surrender to Christ and be saved. We pray for people who have been saved, who need to be baptized. We pray for people to join the church. We pray for spiritual needs in the lives of people. And you know what? Sometimes in that meeting, we get to talking a little bit. We have devotions at prayer meeting at 7:30. We have devotions with all the staff at 8 over there in the school building, church and school. And then we come over and we start having our ministry meetings. And we talk about the school, and we talk about the soul winning, and we talk about the bus ministry and the youth ministry, and we talk about all the outreach and the John and Romans and how we're going to get this done. And sometimes our conversation veers off the rails to individuals in the church. And Brother Adam will say, "Hey, I heard the most encouraging thing the other day about Brother so-and-so." Then Brother Bragg brings up something about a school family. Then Brother Andrew will say something about a teenager. Brother Barajas say something about one of the Spanish families in church. Do we ever talk attendance? I'm not asking you just to say no because I'm asking you in front of the... You'll ruin my sermon if you say yes. But do we ever talk about attendance? I don't even know how many we had last Sunday. And that's God's truth. I looked at it, I think. No, I'm not sure I even looked at it this week. That was in Brother Caleb's. And it's not that I don't want a crowd to preach to, but people, numbers, I don't live because of numbers. But we live because of your faith. I don't suppose anybody here can fully... Pastor, Brother Ed, who pastored for years, could understand that. We live because of your faith. And guess what? So do others. So do others. Somebody's watching you. Somebody, you're a testimony to somebody. So stand fast. Amen. Stand fast in the Lord. Because to somebody, you're a great encouragement. Make sure that you spend your life sowing to righteousness, sowing to the things of God, sowing to holiness. That doesn't mean that you can't have an earthly hobby, some recreation that you enjoy. It just means in your thought life and in your working with people, you're honest and upright, and you're not deceitful and tricking and lying and wicked. Sow to righteousness. Reap in mercy. Sow to the wind. Reap the whirlwind. Stand fast in your faith. Somebody's watching. Somebody's watching. Somebody's watching. Somebody will be encouraged. Somebody will live because you stand fast. And I'm talking to the person right now who's sitting in the pew thinking nobody even notices me. You have no idea. You have no idea. I shouldn't be so transparent, but I'm going to. My wife and I went to Kroger on Thursday night, and we had a disagreement. And it was about something that should have been, that wasn't done, and it just got under my skin. And we took the groceries out to the truck. And it was obvious that we weren't being romantic. And I was pushing a cart. She's tagging along behind. And I'm putting the groceries in the truck and looking at her and just, you know. So she puts the cart away. She gets in the truck and pulls her. She says, "Well, I hope the gardeners." Mary just texted me and said they saw us come out of the store. I don't know what you could tell. Somebody's watching. Somebody's looking. Somebody's looking. So, Brother Tim, if you were offended, I'm sorry. I apologize. It was all her fault. Just want you to know that. So, that's not true. I hope you see my heart this morning. We're no Apostle Paul. We're no Timothy's. We're no Silas's. But we are men in ministry. And we live. We live because of your faith. We live. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll help our church. I pray that you'll build us and challenge us, God. I pray that you'll help us to be careful what we sow. Help us be careful what we plant. Because we are going to harvest. We're going to reap that which we've sown. And Lord, I pray that through that part of the message, you'll reach out this morning and just grab a hold of somebody's heart and cause them to be careful if they're sowing to wrong and evil and wicked, to get that fixed now. Break it off in righteousness, oh God. Break it off in righteousness, because we will reap what we sow. Help us to sow kindness and love and mercy and grace to each other. Help us, Lord. And then, God, help us to live so that we encourage others, so that our faith encourages them. Speak to our hearts this morning, please, as only you can. I pray in Christ's name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message this morning, either the part about sowing and reaping or the part about my faith encourages somebody, something spoke to my heart specifically today from God's Word. The Spirit of God talked to me personally in my heart this morning. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up wherever you're sitting today? And I see your hands, and may God bless you. Amen. Amen. Many, many hands. That's wonderful. I appreciate that. Let the Word of God do a good work in you. Now, let me ask this today. I wonder if you're here and you're lost, and you're one of those that the Spirit of God's been working on the heart, and you need to surrender to Christ. Do you need at the start of this crazy year to get your eternal destiny settled and get it settled today? If you're here this morning, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you're not saved. Can I pray for you? Pastor, please, I'm not settled on my eternal destiny. I don't know for sure, or I even know I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? I will. If you'll lift your hand, I'll pray for you, not by name. Just let me know that by lifted hand you need to be prayed for this morning. Is there anybody like that? If you're here today, you need to be baptized. You come and tell one of these men that you need to follow Christ in believer's baptism. And I hope that if you're not saved, you didn't raise your hand even, that you'll come and tell one of these men, you know what, enough's enough. Now's the time for me to get this settled. Let them deal with you and help you this morning. Father, I thank you for your word and the work it does in our hearts, and I pray that you'll help us, Lord, please, to respond rightly and accordingly when you've spoken to us, as you have to many of us this morning and others as well. We pray that you'll help us, Lord, to be obedient this week with what we've heard in Christ's name. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the piano begins to play the song of invitation. You respond this morning as God has laid it on your heart. You respond to him. While we wait, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Somebody is watching. Somebody is encouraged by your faith. Do you need to be saved? Are you sowing to sin? Are you sowing to wickedness? Are you sowing, planting to the flesh? Are you? Do you need to break that off this morning before you reap the whirlwind? Why don't you come and break it off in righteousness and promise God that you're going to get this fixed and taken care of? Would you do that today? Maybe you've been shut up and not gracious to people, not kind, showing mercy. And you're going to need that someday yourself. I'm going to try to plan a little bit along the way. Let God speak to you this morning from your in your heart. It's my prayer while we wait. Our God and Father, I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you for the faith of these people. And Lord, how my heart lives like Paul's did when he heard how well the church at Thessalonica was doing. So God, help us to live for you, to sow to righteousness, to sow to holiness, to sow to your word, your way, your will, so that we can only not only reap that ourselves, but Lord, be a great testimony to somebody else along the way is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen.